Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and continuing through a reflection on the Acts of the Apostles. If you haven't been able to join me over the last couple of days, I took up chapter 3 of Acts because as a staff, we've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles, and once again, God's word is brand new. It's alive. And as I was reading it with the team, I was just astounded by a set of things. So I thought, I'm going to share some of this with our friends on the radio because it's so crucial and so important and so foundational. And the things that the way in which Jesus is directing Peter and John and the apostles, where they began to preach right there in the center of the temple, right? The center of the life of the Jewish people, the word of God, the saving word of God was meant to go, Peter said, first to the Jews. So there is no holier place. There's no more important place. I mean, even think about it now, the state of Israel today, 2,000 years removed from this, just to be by the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, is like it's the holiest place on the earth and in the whole cosmos for the Jewish people, for those who are believers, the Jewish people. So that's where the proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he rose from the dead, that he's the author of life, and that he's offering salvation to everyone because everyone needs it. And this is important to see. Even the devout Jewish people need it that are there. They need a new life because just like us, just like every other human being, we are gripped by the sin problem, the fallen human heart in sin, which rebels against the will of God. And as a result of, you know, the fall of Adam and Eve, we're a race of people who are alienated from God. Scripture in another place calls enemies of God. And God loves us so much, he sent forth his son to deal with that problem. But it's not just for the Gentile world or for a small percentage of bad people in the Gentile world. It's for the entire human race. And so Peter's declaring it, and it's beginning right there in the heart of the people of God, the Jewish people at the time, this bold preaching. And it's simple. I mean, it's astounding. It is absolutely mind-boggling what God has done in Jesus, the author of life, coming to take on human flesh, the one through whom all things were made, becomes one of us, and the world rejects him, and love comes, and we crucify it, so to speak, as he's hanging on the cross, the God-man, and it reveals the truth about our need for salvation. And so remember, Catholicism at its heart is this. It begins here. It's about salvation. Everybody needs it. There is no such thing as, well, you know, that guy's a nice guy. He's never really hurt anybody, or he's a pretty good person, or that guy's given a ton of money to, you know, good causes, stuff like that. And that's enough somehow, that some good works are enough, or being a nice person is enough. It's not enough. Christianity is not about just behave, have a better moral character. It's about finding the gift of God, which is what? Justification. What does that mean? By God's power, the free gift of God coming to us, applying the power and life and, you know, the words, the life, the person, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit to our lives to give us exercising God's mercy, coming to take away our sin if we give it to him. If we give it to him, that's an important thing. Everybody needs to be able to be saved, so to speak, to respond to this properly. Peter says we have to repent. And that means turning the heart and mind totally to God and saying, I accept your diagnosis of my need. I am a sinful man, like Peter said at that moment when he wasn't really responding to Jesus and he saw the miracle. He said, he fell down. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Forgive me, Lord. That's such a precious moment. Nobody's earning their way to heaven. Nobody earns this. This is God's free gift. And of course, our response to God and the deeds of love inspired by God's grace matter. That's a whole another part of the whole Catholic understanding of what's going on. But everybody needs to come to terms with this. and to be able to respond to the radical nature of what Peter is preaching. And of course, because now he's preaching this word of truth about Jesus, and he's declaring the kingship, really, of Jesus, and that he's Lord of all, and he's telling of all people, the Jewish people, that their anticipation for all these thousands of years for the coming of the Messiah has been fulfilled in this one person, Mary's son, Jesus of Nazareth. And lots of them don't like it, especially the leaders. So Peter's there in even that electric moment where this great sign happens. You see the blindness now and the unwillingness of leaders and people to respond. Some responded right away. Others didn't. Now we see in chapter 4, and as they were speaking to the people, priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, annoyed, because they were teaching the people, that is Peter and John, were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000 people. 5,000 men responded. And you could see why it was shaking the foundation stones of the temple, so to speak. They were proclaiming the resurrection from the dead. And the resurrection from the dead is the beginning of the new humanity, the beginning of the new creation, the new reality that Jesus Christ now is the head of a new race of people, and the only race of people that will dwell in eternal bliss with God and be united with the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are those who have come from death to life in baptism through Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, the one who has the power to give eternal life to whomever he desires. Because the question is for human beings isn't just, how does this religion improve my life here on earth? How does it enhance my experience of life? It's a life preserver being thrown. You're in the middle of a gigantic storm in the Pacific and you're about to die, and out of nowhere, somebody throws you a lifeline. Everybody on the planet needs this lifeline. Everybody. This is why the Catholic Church exists. So now Peter is in trouble, Peter and John. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed. Again, I just have to read it again because it's just so amazing. They get arrested, rejected by the leaders. 5,000 men become believers in Jesus and begin to follow the disciples and enter the church. That's astounding. And guess what? It doesn't happen without a sign and wonder. I mean, God certainly can get it to happen, but this is the way God likes to work. It's one of the ways. And we need to pray for, we need to be expectant that signs and wonders can be worked in our time to testify, to confirm the preaching of the word. The most important thing is not the sign and wonder. It's not the person who did the speaking. It's the truth about salvation being offered to human beings who are living a death-directed destiny. Verse 5, and on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. I bet some of those guys had a tough night, probably didn't sleep all night, thinking about what they were going to do, having heard that 5,000 men had started following already these apostles. With Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. So that the top dogs were there talking about it. The whole place was being shaken. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power and by what name did you do this? Verse 8, this is beautiful. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. Now, remember, these are the very people that Peter on Holy Thursday night and on Good Friday seemed to be deathly afraid of and did not want any conflict with them. Look at how transformed Peter is. How the power of the Spirit at work in Peter has made him the man that Jesus knew he could be and he was calling Peter to be. It's absolutely beautiful, that transformation. This is what the Holy Spirit does for every person who gets serious about following the Lord. receives him in baptism and walks the way that the Lord has put before us. Life of prayer, sacramental life, reading the Word of God, following the footsteps of the saints, desiring to just simply do the will of God, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, understand your call to know Jesus as Savior, as your personal Messiah, the one who anoints you and gives you life. He's the Lord of your life. All authority and power belongs to him, and you submit your life to him freely because he's love itself, and he's got a plan for your life, and just walking in all of that is really what it's all about in the life and the Holy Spirit. We're seeing it unfold here with the apostles. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man had been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel. Now, Peter's at the highest point. He's talking to the religious leaders. He's in the central place, and he's saying, I'm saying this to you, and I'm saying it to all of Israel, everybody, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. The kingdom of God, this is my prayer. What's happening is the kingdom of God is breaking forth. The crippled man is raised. This is just the beginning. They're proclaiming the resurrection. They're saying, how could this happen? This miraculous thing. And how did you guys get so courageous? What's happening? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. The new life, the new humanity. Mercy is being offered to the world for its salvation. The one hope of the world is here. Verse 11, Peter said, this is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, quoting the Old Testament, but which has become the cornerstone. The one you rejected, he is the very cornerstone of the people of Israel and the true temple. Verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. If you're listening, say it with me. There is salvation in no one else. And Christianity is about salvation, or it's about nothing. It is about salvation being offered to a world that's totally, desperately in need of it. And it's the one person who can bring about that salvation, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We must be saved, Peter's saying. And how does that happen for us who must be saved? How is it possible? It's possible because of the man Jesus Christ, the God-man, who now reigns at the right hand of the Father, and the new creation and new humanity has begun, and there's no greater gift that's possible on the planet. And something maybe I'll talk about tomorrow, how easy it is to forget the gift. And we look around and say, man, I wish I had that guy's money. I wish I had that guy's property. I wish I had that person's fame. I wish I had that person's influence. I wish I had that person's family. I wish I had that person's husband. I wish I had whatever, you know, that people think about. People have been baptized. We get caught into these worldly ways of thinking, and we're not thinking with an eternal mindset like Peter and the apostles. We're so freed up, those early Christians. So let's continue to walk in their footsteps and chew on what they've given us to read these days. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.